You're about to listen to a sermon preached at Bethel Lutheran Church in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Bethel is committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and leading people to believe, belong, and build faith at home. It's our hope that God will encourage you through the preaching of His Word.
Would you rather? Would you rather? Would you rather questions get us thinking? Today is an opportunity for us to think about what we would rather. Some silly ones, perhaps, to start. If you could choose a superpower, which would you choose? Would you rather have the power to be invisible for one day or the power to read people's minds for one day? Ooh, which would you pick? Here's another one. Would you rather go to jail for 4 years for something you didn't do or get away with something horrible, but live the rest of your life with regret and wondering if you'd be caught? Ooh. Which would you rather? Some death and dying would you rather. Some real pick-me-ups here this morning. They're a bit morbid. Just go with me. Would you rather go deep-sea diving and have your oxygen tank run out, or go bungee jumping and have your bungee cord snap? You're looking at me like, neither, Pastor Dave. Absolutely, neither one. Here's a thought-provoking one. Would you rather be able to bring back from the dead one person, any person, in history, in your family, some legend in history, or would you rather be able to save three people you've never met from dying? Which would you rather? One last one. Would you rather be able to pick the day you'll die or the way you'll die? Which would you rather? You know, the older we get, the more I suppose we face the reality of our own mortality, and we think about the reality of death and how it might come for us. Woody Allen is famous for once saying, "It's not that I am afraid to die. It's just that I don't want to be there when it happens." Have you ever reflected on someone's death? Even I've heard this. So I've heard this in the foyer after a funeral. And we've talked about the one that we just, whose life we just celebrated, and the Savior that this person's life pointed to. And we've said things like this, as morbid as it sounds, strange and odd as it sounds to talk about a certain way of dying as preferable. We've said things like, "What a way to go." Have you ever thought that about somebody? You've reflected on that person's passing and you've said, "What a great way to die. I hope I go just like that." I won't ask for a show of hands, but you've thought that, haven't you? Maybe the older you get, the more you think, "That's beautiful." It's odd, I think, the younger you are, to think of death even in affectionate terms, preferable terms, as something even good. But we do at times think like that. This morning, I want to talk about that. That's what I want to talk about in the message. A great way to die. Anybody want to leave? I mean, like, I'm not sure I want to go today with you. Why are we going to do that? Here's why. Here's why. We've been getting to know an Old Testament character lately in the book of Genesis. We've been in a series called Back to the Beginning. And today we kind of wrap up that series. And we've gotten to know this key character named Joseph. And we kind of finished that up. And today, I mean, just kind of, sorry, here's how the end of the book ends. Joseph dies in the end. Yeah, right. Real shocker. Maybe like some of you, you kind of hate books or movies where the protagonist in the story passes away. My wife is among this. Why even? What's the point if the good guy dies in the end? And I almost feel like it's a sad story. Here's what I think. When we get to the end of Genesis this morning, here's what we're going to say. What a beautiful way to live. What a great way to die. If today's message is any success, you'll come away saying, "What a beautiful life lived. And what a great way to go." That's where I want us to be today as we look at the life of Joseph. So last week, we finished up with Joseph kind of revealing himself, his identity to his brothers, telling them who he is. You remember they could not understand him. He was speaking Egyptian. They could not recognize him. He was wearing Egyptian royal clothes. And so who is this? And he reveals himself to his brothers as his brother. And then he says, go get dad. Go get the family. Bring them all here. And they all come to live together with Joseph in Egypt. And they live there for 17 years. And after 17 years, their dad, the boys' dad, Jacob, the one who wrestled with God, also changed his name to Israel, Jacob passes away. Jacob passes away, and with the passing of Jacob, there's a new kind of tension that rises in the hearts of the boys as they think about, oh, what does this mean now for us going forward? This is where we're going to go today. So if you've got a Bible, would you turn to Genesis chapter 50? Genesis 50, and as you're turning there, greetings to those in Battle Lake joining us this morning as we wrap up this life of Joseph and have a look at this wonderful life and wonderful death in the character of Joseph. Genesis chapter 50, if you would, please stand for the reading of God's word. I'll begin reading at verse 15. It says there, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. Quote, this is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they have committed in treating you so badly. End quote. Now, brothers say, now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also, the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the sons of Israel, that is Jacob, swear an oath to me and said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. So Joseph died at the age of 110. And after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. The word of the Lord. Please, you may be seated. Well, what do you think? What a life. And what a death. Maybe, just maybe, even in the reading of that, you said to yourself, wow, that guy, he lived well. He died well. And if so, why? Why would you say that? I see in this text that I read today for three reasons why we could say that about Joseph. First of all, we could say that about Joseph because he died without any anger toward anyone. Without any anger toward anyone. The key word here is forgiveness. After the death of their dad, Jacob, the brothers of Joseph are worried. Why? Because they remember what they did to Joseph. And dad's passing brings all of this now 20, 30, 40 years previous, all dredges it all up in their minds. They remember the terrible things they did to Joseph years ago. They remember how they hated him. They remember how they sold him as a slave. They remember how they covered up his disappearance. leading dad to believe that their son, their beloved son, had died. But we don't know what happened, but we found this coat that you gave him. It's full of blood. And they remember all of this. And now when dad's gone, they're afraid. Why are they afraid? What are they afraid of? They're afraid that now that dad is gone, Joseph's really going to get him. This is going to be the timing of his revenge. The text said in verse 15 that when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs that we did to him?" You feel that? Here's what their thinking is. Dad was the glue in our relationship. And maybe, just maybe, what Joseph was doing was holding back his anger and his revenge and his hatred till dad was gone. And when dad goes, that's when we can really get him. That's what they were afraid of. So they come up with a plan. I read the plan. What a pathetic plan. They fabricate kind of like dad's last will and testament, his final instructions to Joseph. They fabricate his final will. They come and it says in verse 16 and 17, they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died." We found this note. Here it is. And quote, "This is what you're to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Love, Dad." How pathetic. And so Joseph gets this note. How does Joseph receive it? What does Joseph think of it? He's surprised. Why? Because he had no intention of going back on his forgiveness toward his brothers. There wasn't hatred in his heart towards his brothers that had treated him so badly. He forgave them 17 years ago, and that still stood. So when this note comes to Joseph, the text said that his heart was broken. It says in the next verse, when their message came to him, Joseph wept. These brothers knew that Joseph was kind to them for the last 17 years. Now they're wondering, now what? The memory of what they did still rises in their hearts and minds to haunt them. Listen to this. Listen. The sins of their past are causing them to doubt the possibility that they could truly be forgiven. Does that sound familiar to you? That the sins of one's past could come back to haunt a person, that they could doubt that they could ever really, truly be forgiven. Maybe you came to faith in Christ. I trust that you're here today, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your only hope. He has shed his blood for you and offers to you, as you confess your sins to him, full, total pardon. Maybe you've come to that place, and that's where you sit today. Maybe you came to faith in Christ 17 years ago, or 7 weeks ago, or 7 years ago, or 70 years ago, no matter what. And in that, you experienced the full pardon of God. You knew what it was to be forgiven of your sins. You knew that you had been brought near to the Lord, that you had been reconciled, that though you were his enemy, you were brought near and forgiven. And you lived in that. And since that time, God has guarded you. God has provided for you. God has walked with you in life. But maybe, just maybe, in the back of your mind, you wonder if this is all just too good to be true. Maybe God will have a change of heart. Maybe, just maybe, he will remember me according to my sins. Oh, what a heavy burden. What a silent anguish. Somewhere in your heart, you are aware of your own sinfulness. You know what you did. You know what you said. You're aware of your own worthlessness, and there lurks in your heart a suspicion that one day, someday, God is going to pay you back for what you did, for what you said, for what you failed to do. Or maybe we, like Joseph's brothers, think that God acts towards those who offend him as we act towards those who offend us. Is that part of it? Could it be that God's forgiveness is only as strong as our ability to forgive and pardon others? And we think that God is like us, a church. I have wonderful news for you today. God is not anything like you. Praise the Lord. God is not anything like me. Aren't you glad? Listen, I want you to hear. Listen, in so many ways, the word of God for you, brother or sister. Isaiah 43. I am the one who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Isaiah 1, come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Ephesians 1, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews 8, would you say this with me? Hebrews 8. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Psalm 103 says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your diseases and heals all your sins, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Brothers and sisters, forgiveness has triumphed over anger. God chooses to deal with you according to his Son, who bore in himself the penalty for your sin. He has no more wrath for you. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen to God's word, not the suspicion lurking in your heart today. Joseph was able to leave this world with a clean conscience toward God and toward others. Question, will you? Will you? Angry at no one. What a great way to die, don't you think? What a great way to go. Another way Joseph died well was that he died without resentment toward God. Key word here is the word faith. You know, Joseph's life, as we've reflected on it, as we've gotten to know him, it was not easy. I mean, he went through it. This guy went through it. But he viewed both the hard times as well as the beautiful, wonderful times through the single lens of faith in God. Confident that God was in charge, working what was good in his life. He knew it. We saw the difficult life that he had growing up in such a dysfunctional family. We witnessed the hatred and cruelty of his brothers. We saw him working as a slave. We saw him falsely accused and imprisoned. We saw him abandoned and forgotten in that prison. Down, down, down it goes. But then we see a turn. We see him taken out of prison, elevated to a position of power and prestige and prominence in Egypt. We watched Joseph reunited with his brothers. We saw God through Joseph, bring his brothers to repentance and reunited with them. We saw Joseph reunited with his father. We've seen Joseph in the highs and in the lows of his life, but no matter what, through every valley and across every mountaintop, Joseph remain confident that God is mighty to save, no matter what was going on in his life. What a great way to live. What a great way to die. We've seen that. Psalm 33, verse 11. The plan, say this with me. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. The idea that no matter what happens in life, God's plan is not thwarted. No matter what happens in life, in the highs and the lows, God's plan is not thwarted. Here's a visual way. I want to give you a visual way to think about this. From a human perspective, Joseph's life kind of looked like this. And it kind of looks like these ups and these downs, these ups and these downs, and these ups and these downs. And we kind of go, yeah, Pastor Dave, that's kind of how life is. These got really high highs and low lows, and we, you know, I don't know if this is better, because what about the highs you're missing, right? But highs and lows, and we feel like that's the way life is. And we look at Joseph's life, and we think the same thing. But maybe, just maybe, we need to look at Joseph's life from God's perspective. I wonder if it doesn't look just like this. What if we tilt the axis? What if Joseph's life isn't going like this, but it's going like this, in this steady stream upward towards God? What if just maybe Jesus is the one who can come and tilt the axis of your life so that both the good, the highs and the lows from your point of view and mine, only ever serve the purpose of his good and perfect plan? It says in Genesis 50, verse 20, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Could it be that even the lows in your life are ways that through that God can defeat evil and bring about his good, perfect, and pleasing will? To present you before him without blemish, spot, wrinkle, perfect bride of Christ. Could it be that God, through evil even, can work his plan in your life? And I would say, here's the thing. Only Jesus can tilt the axis. It's only through Christ that the axis of your life is tilted so that it goes this way. I think this is what Joseph's life teaches us. Even evil serves the purpose of bringing us to him. Okay, one last way to die. Great way to die, without a doubt about the future. Without a doubt about the future. Key word here is peace. You know, we often associate the phrase rest in peace with someone's death. It's an expression of a wish for someone who has passed on. But what about dying? What about living and dying in peace? Peace before the resting. You know, Joseph lived and died in peace. He knew that God would save him. He knew that God would be there for him in his life. And then he knew that God would be there for his family when he was gone. And he expressed that to his brothers. He trusted in God's promises. He was confident in the God who holds the future. He knew he didn't hold it, but he knew God did. Verse 24, it says, "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'I'm about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.'" Joseph lived believing that God's promises are true. Joseph lived believing that God's word could be counted upon. And years later, what Joseph said to his brothers did in fact come true. Do you remember how the story goes after Genesis? What's the next book of the Bible? Exodus. There was this guy that came along, sent by the Lord. You may have heard of him. His name was Moses. And he led God's people out of Egypt to the promised land. You know, Joseph died peacefully, confident in God, and he woke up in the promised land, in the presence of the Lord forever. What a great way to go. So as I wrap up, how about you? If you were to die today, would you go like that? Would we gather at your funeral and afterwards say, wow, what a great way to go. What a great way to die. Would we say that about you? Joseph's life and death raises some would you rathers worth considering. Would you rather believe that the evil that you have and will experience in life is a waste? Or would you rather believe that God can triumph over evil to bring about his plans for your good? Which would you rather? Would you rather reserve the right to hold a grudge against those who have hurt you and maybe hurt you and wounded you deeply? Or would you rather live in the freedom of forgiveness given and received? Which would you rather? Aware of your need for rescue, would you rather trust your methods and your timing for your own rescue, or God's sovereign methods and God's sovereign timing? Which would you rather? Would you rather die hoping you'll go to heaven, or knowing that you will? Would you rather stand before God robed in your accomplishments and your spiritual resume, or wearing the righteousness of Christ provided for you? Which would you rather? Would you rather die unsure whether you did enough or accomplished enough? Or would you rather die certain that you didn't, but that Jesus did so on your behalf? Which would you rather? When I die, I want to die well. I want people to say, what a way to go. What a way to go. Believing to the end that God's promises are true, even when it's hard. Believing to the end that his word is reliable. And confident to my dying breath that in living and dying, that God is mighty to save. Which would you rather? Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for the life of Joseph that has pointed us to you every week. Thank you that in his living and in his dying, we hear the gospel. Now, Lord Jesus, would you cause us by your Holy Spirit to respond in faith right now? Each one in the hearing of my voice. Be at work leading us to trust, not in the robe of our accomplishments, but in the righteousness of Jesus. Help us to live confident that the forgiveness that you've offered to us is good, not just today, but on the day that it really matters when we stand in your presence. Thank you that you will, because of Jesus, remember our sins no more. Hallelujah. Cause us, to the Lord, to believe this, to be refreshed in this, to go from this place with the good news to share to the world that needs to hear it, of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen and amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Dave Foss, and you just heard a sermon preached at Bethel Lutheran Church. It's our hope that God encouraged you through the preaching of his word today. And if he has, if that's the case with you, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love the chance to minister to you further or simply to cheer on God's work in your life in any way we can. Through our website at bethellutheran.church, you can contact us, and we'd love to hear from you. So until then, may God bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.